This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're tuned into On The Ball. We'll give you a preview of all the big games from the English Premier League weekend. Joining me once again on the show, I have Prakar Sajdev.
Hi, Dustin.
Well, before we move on to the games, Prakar, there's some big news coming out of the Premier League this week. Mauricio Pochettino becomes the second manager to be sacked, with Tottenham replacing him with none other than Jose Mourinho. Well, what do we make of this news, Prakar?
Pochettino's sacking was coming. It was due to the kind of poor form that Tottenham were suffering since the start of the season. It was just a matter of when and not if. And we generally see the sackings come during international breaks. So that the new incoming manager has some time to gel with the players. It was time for Pochettino to go, and he has left Tottenham, but more importantly, see who's back. Most importantly, with Jose Mourinho back, the thing is, the press conferences, Premier League's press conferences, will be again worth watching. Mourinho has some of the best press conferences. There will be again some really good bites, good one-liners from Mourinho. But for what I understand, Mourinho's appointment as Spurs manager is more of a knee-jerk reaction from Tottenham's side. They have got carried away by Mourinho's persona. If you see what Mourinho's past two assignments, second term in Chelsea and then as a manager of Manchester United, they both did not end well, and he could not complete his entire tenure at both the clubs.
In fact, he didn't complete his tenure in his first spell also at Chelsea.
So
he's not known to complete his tenures.
And the kind of manager that Mourinho is, he's very vocal about his criticism of players, and he's very vocal about the kind of players that he wants. He was very vocal about his disappointments if he doesn't get the kind of signings, kind of star players that he wants. And Tottenham, although they have not signed any big player for past two windows, they would want some big spendings, but not sure if their bank accounts will make them to sign. But Mourinho is one who believes in big signing. And if he doesn't get, he will start getting grumpy. A result or two not going his way, he will start complaining. And trust me, grumpiness is the last thing that Tottenham players want at this point of time. They are already kind of low. They are already demoralized. They would have been hurt by the loss of Pochettino. And if Mourinho starts complaining about the players and their output in the games, that will backfire. So not sure how Mourinho's reign at Spurs will begin. But for me, it is not such a good tactical move by Spurs management. What about you? What do you think?
Prakar, being an Arsenal fan, you would expect me to revel in such signings. But I tend to differ in this point of view, because I think Mourinho is still a title-winning manager. He has three Premier League titles. And no matter what we say about his previous spell at Manchester United, he still did win a European trophy, the Europa League, which we've seen is not an easy thing to achieve, with Arsenal still struggling to get that in the past. But I still think that it's a change of approach for Tottenham, because so far the fans have been lauding Pochettino for his success, but we've seen he hasn't won anything. There have been zero trophies. And if you look at Mourinho, his track record, he has actually won more trophies than Spurs in their entire existence have. I think his haul is around 20 titles, whereas 20 trophies, and Spurs have just 17 trophies if you exclude Community Shields. So he is someone who comes with a history of winning, that winning mentality. And there's been an interesting shift in appearance from Mourinho over the past 2 or 3 months. Football fans watching punditry on TV would have noticed. And Mourinho, they say, has appointed a new PR team. And he went around asking people, what is it about me that I need to change?
Is there something?
Yes, there have been a lot of reports that have been published where Mourinho is known to have approached people saying, tell me if there's something I need to change. So he is a person who has worked upon himself. And knowing Tottenham and the management, I do not think they would actually go in for a knee-jerk. I think this was in the works, and Mourinho was also being linked with Arsenal. So we see he has been a candidate. He would still have to impress the management to land the job, because it wasn't like he was the only fish in the pond. And if Mourinho comes in with that mentality that he first came to Chelsea with the way he invigorated the club, let's not forget when he won the league with his first season at Chelsea, it was a duopoly that time. Only Manchester United and Arsenal were winning. And it was the first Premier League title that Chelsea had won in 50 years. You know, he is someone who can overachieve with any set of players.
Yes.
So this would be an interesting signing. As an Arsenal fan, I'm not entirely looking forward to Mourinho leading Tottenham and coming for any North London derbies. It is a little scary, but at the same time, it would be interesting. As you said, a few bad results down the line, we would have to wait and see whether the grumpy Mourinho does turn up at press conferences and what does he have to say then. I always think Mourinho is quick on two things. One is parking the bus, other is throwing the players underneath that same bus. So this would be an interesting development. And leading into their next game, Tottenham are now travelling to West Ham. Both teams have not made great starts and are without a win in their last five games. Well, what can we expect from West Ham here? Would they come out all guns blazing?
Well, another coach who is in line for the next sack could be West Ham's manager Manuel Pellegrini.
Yeah.
He's also under a tremendous pressure. And more importantly, when West Ham appointed Manuel Pellegrini as their manager, they had some really high expectations.
Yeah.
When he came, he went all out and brought in some really high value signings into
They've
the club.
They've invested quite a lot.
But the results are not going that way. And talking about this league in specific, they have failed to win their last six league matches. And before the international break, they lost 3-0. It was a horrible loss against Burnley. So it's looking very difficult for West Ham as of now. And they are also hindered by injuries. So not sure how West Ham will cope up against Tottenham.
Especially a Tottenham coming in with that new manager bounce that clubs tend to have.
Any club with a new manager tends to become more energetic. Players tend to perform more. So in that case, I am doubtful about West Ham's chances against Tottenham this weekend.
Well, I'll have to confess, I'm a bit worried for West Ham because there are two things we have to consider. One is Mourinho always improves defenses regardless of anything else. So we could immediately see an improvement in the Tottenham defense, if not this week, at least next. Second is that the Tottenham players will want to prove themselves now. It seemed like they slacked off a bit towards the end. Pochettino wasn't really able to bring out the best in those players who has pushed for so long. I think now with Mourinho at the helm, the players know that I have to perform. Otherwise, I am going to be sacked out of this team. I do not know what my future is. So we might just see the likes of Dele Alli, of Harry Kane, of Son Heung-min taking charge and really dictating proceedings. So I'm a bit worried for West Ham and I do not see them having a good time at their home stadium this weekend. What are your predictions for this game, Prab?
1-1 for this matter, draw.
I think Tottenham could just nick this 2-0, but we'll have to wait and watch. Well, moving on to the headline fixture from this weekend. Manchester City welcomed Chelsea. Now, Manchester City has slipped down the rankings to 4th. Behind Chelsea at this point, and Chelsea would want to close in on Liverpool with that 8-point gap. What should we expect from the visitors for this game, Prakar?
Firstly, Frank Lampard's young squad has really impressed, and that shows. Trust me, I was not expecting Chelsea to be among the top 4 come December, but they are there. They had their main player gone, Eden Hazard gone, and they had a new manager, but still with the new manager,
and
Frank Lampard,
and
a transfer ban. So not many things were going their way, but still being in such a competitive league, being in top 4, it is a commendable job. And Chelsea have a good form going their way as well. Chelsea have won their last 6 matches in the Premier League and 5 in a row. So that speaks about the quality of the side. And they have some good goal scorers in their side as well. Tammy Abraham have been an absolute star. So have been Mason Mount.
Even Christian Pulisic is beginning to hit his straps now.
So Chelsea are gelling together. I should not say gelling together, they have already gelled together. So a very good side as of now. So it will be a really end-to-end match, and Chelsea would want, now that they have the advantage of being third, they would want to stay there, and let's see what Manchester City brings on the table.
Well, speaking about City, if we thought a 9-point gap was big, if they lose this game, it might be 12 points.
And it might be the end of their title ambition.
Yeah, we just never know. But I don't think they played really poorly against Liverpool. I think they did perform well. But of course, at Anfield, it's always tough and it's a game of margins. You know, this small time they turned off, Liverpool just capitalized in that game. City will also be strengthened by the return of Ederson, who has come back to training. Rodri has returned back to training. Although one notable absence will be Bernardo Silva, who's serving a ban for a controversial tweet he had posted for his own teammate, Bernardo Mendy. But I don't think Bernardo Silva's absence will affect City that much because they've got players like Mahrez who can effortlessly slot into that squad. Speaking about the opponent Chelsea, I remember watching them, especially at the start of the season. They were a team who used to attack fearlessly but concede a lot of goals in defense. And of late that has changed. Lampard has managed to tighten up the defense. And what's good about that team is what hasn't changed is their intent to attack. So this, as you said, it will be an end-to-end game. And I think it's going to be the headline high-scoring feature from this weekend. But let's not forget the last time Chelsea visited Manchester City Stadium. They went back after a 6-0 defeat with a hat-trick from none other than Aguero. Yes. So it will be interesting to see what Aguero has in store this time. What are your predictions for this game then, Prakar?
As it has come out from our discussion, it's going to be a high-scoring fixture. I see both teams scoring 2 goals each and finishing on a draw.
A draw would be the best result for Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, so I want both teams to share a pointage and gap between the chasing pack and the table toppers Liverpool should widen up.
Well, I think we'll see a different beast from Manchester City following this international break. Guardiola knows he has no place to slack now and we saw his emotions on the touchline.
Yeah.
So I do see a high scoring game, but I think City will nick this 4-3. But we'll
4-3.
That's what I predict.
7 goals.
Yes.
That would be one interesting match.
Because if you look at the defenses of both sides, they aren't the most secure.
City, of course, are
playing Fernandinho and we don't know who will be partnering him.
Correct.
Even though they have us John Stones. Mm. And Chelsea's attacking line has been tremendous.
Mm.
Tammy Abraham, Christian Pulisic and Mason Mount has been impressive. Callum Hudson-Odoi hasn't played as many games.
Correct.
And he looks impressive in each outing. So this should be a high scoring.
Fourth,
I'm hoping for a 7-goal thriller.
7-goal thriller with City winning. Sure, that's interesting.
Well, speaking about the league leaders who travelled to Crystal Palace this time, Prakar, are we predicting any upset here?
Well, to be frank, I'm kind of worried about this weekend's fixture for Liverpool. And the reason being, the international break came at a very wrong time for the team. They are enjoying a good run and just beating City. They would have loved to be there in the league. Players not drifting away.
So
that would have kept the manager focused, the players focused. But now they went for the international breaks. And in the international break, the Liverpool players have picked up injuries. Most importantly, their two key players, Mohamed Salah and Andy Robertson, they have picked up injuries. Also, our captain, Jordan Henderson, did not feature for England's Euro 2020 qualifier for some illness. Virgil van Dijk withdrew from Holland's match for some personal reason. That's not an injury or a health concern, but he should be back. And more importantly, Liverpool have a very congested fixture heading into December and January. That's when Klopp would have wanted his top players to be at the prime of their fitness. But now, as we see, the medical bulletin of Liverpool is not looking particularly pink, particularly good. So I see Klopp relying more on his second string players, the likes of Shaqiri, the likes of
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has been impressive on his return. So he could just feature in that midfield if Henderson is
absolutely
injured,
it's about time. And as we have been discussing on this podcast for a few episodes now, it's they have injury concerns and it might be the time for ex-Arsenal player Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to be slotted into the playing 11.
It's also interesting, we've spoken about the playing style of Liverpool and how long they might be able to sustain that high-pressing tempo.
Now it looks like players are running out of gas and I'm not particularly positive about this fixture against Crystal Palace. What about Crystal Palace?
Well, Crystal Palace's last 4 Premier League games have been against City, Arsenal, Leicester and Chelsea in this order.
Okay.
And barring Arsenal, all of them have been 2-0 defeats. It was just against Arsenal that they were 2-0 down inside the first quarter of the game.
Okay.
And then they managed to come back for a 2-2 draw. That was a famous game when we saw Xhaka and his whole altercation with the fans. But it's not looking good for Palace. Of course, you cannot put it up against them because of that fixture list against all these top clubs. There is an injury concern also for them with Wilfred Zaha reporting a bruised foot. So he is a big player for them. He holds an entire wing. And if he's not there, it just affects the entire forward line with, you know, Andre Ayew would just be without any support and I guess Townsend would fit in there. But Crystal Palace do have it in them to cause an upset. And considering they're playing at Selhurst Park and Liverpool sometimes do tend to look a little jaded on the road when they travel to these clubs. It might make for an interesting game, but what are your predictions for this game, Prakar?
See, Liverpool very uncharacteristically are conceding goals very early in the match. Hmm. That's a separate thing that they have made some really stunning comebacks, but they have conceded. And looking at injury concerns of the players, I see Liverpool dropping points and it will be a 1-1 draw.
Well, even if they manage that draw, I think we should mention this. It will be their 30th game that they've remained undefeated so far. But I just think Liverpool might nick this. They've shown that character. I think a 2-1 victory for Liverpool in this
game. I would be happy, but somehow I feel, let's see what happens.
Well, moving on, it looks like it's another sack race when Arsenal welcome Southampton to the Emirates Stadium. Both managers under pressure, both aren't doing that well. Well, let's speak about Arsenal first here. Unai Emery, there have been widespread calls for his sacking. People are asking for even Wenger to be brought back to the club for an interim period. We've seen the whole issue with Xhaka's captaincy. He's been stripped of captaincy, and over the past week, reports have emerged that he might not feature for Arsenal any longer and might just look for a January exit. And things have even got worse with one of the standout players from last season, Storreira, who was a fan favorite, is a fan favorite. His agent has come out and spoken to the press saying that the player isn't happy with how Emery has been using him, with that more forward role than the defensive mid that Torreira prefers. So things aren't looking great at Arsenal. The board have come out and said that we back Unai Emery to pull things back. They said that he will not be losing his job anytime soon. He does have his contract running till the end of the year. However, some backroom channels, there are reports that Emery has until December. And if he does not solve this problem by December, we just might see a shake-up at the club. Which is fair considering the immense talent that Arsenal have. I think this is a better squad than Wenger had in his last couple of years in charge. So Emery should be achieving more. But if you had to ask any team, which team would you want to face at home at this point of the season, they would have said Southampton, considering their recent form. Okay. So Arsenal do have a great opportunity to bounce back this weekend.
Okay, but if Emery does get sacked, would you want Mauricio Pochettino to run things for Arsenal till end of the season or next two seasons? Now he's available.
Yeah, sticking with the history of people who have made the change. We've seen Saul Campbell who did it, who shifted from Tottenham immediately to Arsenal. He was a great option. But to be fair, to be honest, I have been an admirer of Pochettino at Tottenham with what he has achieved. He did not have the amount of resources that other clubs had, but still managed to push them. There are uncanny similarities. They built a new stadium like Arsenal. They managed to reach the Champions League final and lose like Arsenal. So I do think Pochettino is a manager who can punch above his weight. And I personally would be excited to have him at Arsenal. And with Pochettino going back to Tottenham and beating them would be extra special. And he does play an exciting brand of football. But whether it happens or not, we'll just have to wait and watch.
But if Arsenal have to get Pochettino, they will have to make a quick move. Because there are reports that Bayern Munich is behind Pochettino. There are also reports that Barcelona is making an approach. Earlier, last season, towards the later part, Pochettino made it clear that he would not want to go to Barcelona. But there have been strong links of Pochettino moving to Barcelona.
And Manchester United have always been interested in Pochettino. It speaks of Pochettino's brilliance, we must say, because from Southampton to Tottenham, and now he's been linked with the likes of the Barcelona's, Munich.
The Champions League.
Yeah, Champions League winning teams, which does also show his caliber. What about Southampton then, Prakar, in this game?
Well, they are a troubled side as of now. Currently, second from the bottom, and their form is also poor. They have lost 6 of their last 7 matches and have a really terrible goal difference. So
I think major part of it is because of that hammering they got against Leicester 9-0. City at home. Yeah.
And the scars of that defeat against Leicester, and that too, it was at home. So we don't expect teams to lose 9-0 at home. So the scars of that defeat would still be there with the manager and with the team. And as we have discussed already, Ralf Hasenhüttl is another manager who is in the sack line. And if Arsenal turns out to be too good for Southampton this weekend, then we might see the end of road for Ralf Hasenhüttl. And if he has to put some fight against Arsenal, they have to improve in their back line. They have to study their defenses or it might be really difficult. Southampton.
Just to add to that, it would be interesting to see what type of a team Emery picks for this game, because his major criticism has been he hasn't been able to bring out the most from the attacking force. And with Ceballos, who walked off injured and didn't feature in the international break, we might just see Mesut Ozil feature again. But will he feature behind a front trio of Aubameyang, Pepe and Lacazette, which we haven't seen coming out in recent? If that happens and if they click, Southampton will be in for real trouble. What are your predictions for this game then?
3-0 for Arsenal.
Well, I would agree with you there. I think a 3-0 victory does sound about right. But again, it's Arsenal and I wouldn't put it against them to just end up with a 2-2 draw at the same
time. Yeah. They concede towards the end of the match.
Yeah. Well, moving on, Sheffield United welcome Manchester United at home. Well, what do we say about Man U for this game, Prakar?
After a slow and a really sluggish start to their season.
Before that, I must ask, is it fair to speak about Man U first? Because Sheffield are still ahead of them on the table at this point, yeah.
But yes, talking about United, they had a very terrible start to the season. Manchester United have picked up form. And again, like Liverpool, their arch rivals, the international break came at a wrong time for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. They would have loved their players to be there and keep playing and keep enjoying the good stretch of form that they had. But sadly, the international break came, and many Premier League managers and many league managers, they hate just international break coming there with their players going off and then coming back injured. But interestingly, Manchester United are getting their long-term injured players back. Paul Pogba should soon be back in the training, and in a week's time, he should start featuring for Manchester United. Matic is back in training, Luke Shaw is back in training. So,
and Martial was impressive just before the break when he returned. Yeah.
So it looks like a good strong side for Sheffield United. But Sheffield United have themselves been quite a story and quite a revelation this season.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of Sheffield United, especially with everything the manager Chris Wilder has been able to achieve. For a newly promoted side to sit above the likes of Arsenal, Manchester United, Tottenham on the table speaks of itself. But they do have a few injury concerns. Firstly, their goalkeeper Dean Henderson won't feature for this game because he's playing against his parent club. So that blocks him, keeps him out of this game. Also, defender John Egan is an injury doubt. And we've spoken about Sheffield's formation in the previous podcast. The defenders do play an important role in them bombarding forward. But Sheffield have been known to eke out results at home. They beat Arsenal 1-0. And against Liverpool, it was only a howler from Henderson which saw them lose 1-0. So they are a strong force at home. And I wouldn't put it beyond them to just, you know, put up a fight and take points off Manchester United in this game. I think it would be Manchester United taking points off Sheffield United with the form they have been in of late. What are your predictions then, Prakar, for this?
1-1 draw.
I also think it might just be a draw, but I was looking at a 2-2 high scoring draw, hopefully. Well, the last segment of our podcast, the Fantasy Premier League, you have any tips for our listeners for this weekend, Prakar?
People love Salah for his goal-scoring ability, and they also tend to pick up Andy Robertson. And considering that Liverpool have a kind of an easy fixture against Crystal Palace, but because most likely they are not going to feature in the match, so I would say replace them. This time, I will tell the players not to pick. So they can do away with the like of Mohamed Salah and Andy Robertson. But as we said, Manchester City versus Chelsea is a high scoring fixture. And going by Aguero's form and going by what Aguero did last time out against Chelsea, so you can pick Aguero and expect at least 2 goals from him. So do away with Mohamed Salah, do away with Andy Robertson. In place of Andy Robertson, you can get Trent Alexander-Arnold in. He's in a good form, and pick Sergio Aguero. And my favorite pick for this season has been Sadio Mane. So have Sadio Mane in your squad. What about your picks?
Well, I would stick to what you said, that stay away from defenders from City and Chelsea, because we are hoping to see goals flying in there. But I think the attackers, like you mentioned, Aguero, even De Bruyne, Raheem Sterling, Tammy Abraham could prove to be good buys. I think Kane and Song could also prove to be smart buys, because if Mourinho fixes the issues that Tottenham have been facing, we could see the floodgates open, and both of them are good goal scorers, so they could just bring in the goals for you. So I would put my money behind them both, and Jamie Vardy. Let's not forget, Vardy is having one of the seasons of his life. He's already on top of the scorers chart. So Jamie Vardy would be a pick, and also Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang He's been elevated to captain at Arsenal, hasn't been able to really make a statement since. But this could be just the match for him, with a Southampton side struggling for confidence. Yes. He could just stamp his authority there. Okay. So those are my picks for this week.
Let's hope for a great week of football, great weekend of football rather.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
Well, that brings us to the end of this segment of On The Ball. If you have any queries or comments, feel free to email us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay tuned to Money Control. Thanks for listening.